You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, In His Hand. Topic, Never Let Go, Holding Hands. Just early within my time of preparation, Matt Redman's song, Never Let Go, was playing with the words, Oh no, you never let go, through the dark and through the storm. How true this is. God will not let go. But what about us, his children? My wife and I were in a Looney Tunes location humanity calls a shopping mall, Barton Square Mall. Oh goodness, what total madness. It was terribly busy with all kinds of people. When you pay close attention to people, what do you see? Pickpockets, shoplifters, drug dealers, prostitutes, and many people behaving and dressing inappropriately. Oh, did I forget to mention the multitude of children who want things? Those kids are our example for today, because we Christians behave exactly like them. Abba, Father, we want this. I want a hamburger. No, not later, Abba. Now. I want it now. Lego store. Abba, I want to go there. Do you recognize this? In the meantime, we have a hard time holding onto their hand. There is, however, a difference between being in God's hand and our children holding on to us. The difference is the way we hold hands. While watching 19 Kids and Counting, we saw the episodes of Josh, the oldest son, courting his bride-to-be. They were practically glued hand-to-hand, whispering sweet things and complimenting each other. They genuinely wanted to hold on to each other, not letting go. The child in the shopping mall does not want to hold on to mommy or daddy. They want to break loose and rush into the Lego store, preferably with your credit card. It is, however, not the child's choice, and thus we hold on tight, so tight that we could lift them up with that one-hand grip. For God, hand-holding is slightly different. We are his children, and he does not want to let us go. Yet it is our choice. It has to be our will to follow him, stay in his presence, and embrace his will. We are the world in his hand. We are able to leap out of his hand. We are able simply to let go. We are able to turn away from him. We are able to deny him and say, that is not my daddy. The best way for us as Christians to be in God's hand is to be his child on an excursion, a hike, a field trip, or an outing, walking through the unknown terrain of our lives, trusting Abba to point out the way, showing us the beautiful flowers, the wild animals, the birds, the bees, the things that are good for us, and the things that will harm us. When we break loose from his hand, we realize it immediately. We are lost. This is strange territory. We have never been here before. It is beautiful, yet slightly scary. It is like the temptation of Christ in the desert. As soon as we give our life to the Lord, the temptations begin. Jesus was baptized, and his temptation started when he went into the desert shortly after this for his time of prayer, fasting, and solitude. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, Common English Bible. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus replied, "It is written, people will not live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the devil took him into the holy city and placed him on the highest point of the temple. He said to him, since you are God's son, throw yourself down. For it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus replied, Again it is written, Do not test the Lord your God. Then the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, I will give you all these if you bow down and worship me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Jesus responded, Go away, Satan, because it is written, You will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and angels came and cared for him. What many people do not realize is that all the answers to our questions are encapsulated in the answers of Jesus Christ. If we were to live by bread alone, we would not live long, nor would we get far in life. What Yeshua is saying is that in the Word of God, we will find everything we need: how to walk, where to walk, what to do, eat, teach, plant, grow, harvest, create, love, and besides that, what not to do. The Word of God is the total word for our lives. I hear someone say, but I work in computers, and there is not a single word in the Bible about the IT industry. Yes, that is correct, but the Bible tells us to work in such a way that we will be the best in what we do. This means continuing our education, staying on top of our field, growing in it, excelling in it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24, Common English Bible, Slaves, obey your masters on earth in everything. Do not obey only while they are watching, like people pleasers. Instead, obey with a single motivation, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart, for the Lord, and not for people. You know that you will receive an inheritance as a reward. You serve the Lord Christ. Thus, in all you do, your work, loving your spouse or children, your relationships, in all you do, praise the Lord. This truly means that in all we do, we give honor and glory to God. Saying, oh damn it, does not honor God. Instead, it calls for him to damn what was done, bringing it to destruction. Rather, we should say, thank you, Lord, I have found another way not to do this, which brings us one step closer to the solution. When our trust is in the Word of God, we learn how and when to act. We already know how it will end, because the Word of God is attested and true, as we read in the first answer of Christ to Satan. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 4, Common English Bible. Remember the long road on which the Lord your God led you during these 40 years in the desert in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you by making you hungry and then feeding you manna that neither you nor your ancestors had ever experienced, so that he could teach you that people do not live on bread alone. No, they live on everything the Lord says. During these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell. It says that by trusting in the Lord, clothing and shoes did not wear out. Does this mean that we Christians never have to buy clothing again? Certainly not. It means we will not be in want of our needs. God is taking care of us and providing what we truly require. It says that we might be walking through our personal desert at this moment, but God has a plan and a direction for our lives. God has provided us a pathway through this desert. Oh yes, if we are as stubborn, or dare I say as foolish, as the Israelites were, in the desert and start complaining, I want to go have a Big Mac. I want to go to the Lego store. Daddy, there is Brooks Brothers. No, 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 not Sears Auto, Dad. I want to go to Laffy Taffy. Then our trip through the desert might end up being 40 years instead of 40 days. But in obedience, it will be only 40 days. The trip out of Egypt would have taken 40 days in obedience. Jesus's fast and solitude lasted how many days again? Yes, indeed, 40. Satan, like our children, knows that if we keep whining long enough, Mom and Dad will give in, even if only to gain a moment of peace and quiet. Thus, he tried again. But as we have read, and can read continuously in God's Word, we must stand on that Word and trust it, trusting God with a capital T. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 to 19. Common English Bible. Watch yourself. Do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Revere the Lord your God, serve him, and take your solemn pledges in his name. Do not follow other gods, those gods of the people around you, because the Lord your God, who is with you and among you, is a passionate God. The Lord your God's anger will burn against you, and he will wipe you off the fertile land. Do not test the Lord your God the way you frustrated him at Massah. You must carefully follow the Lord your God's commands, along with the laws and regulations he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that things will go well for you, and so you will enter and take possession of the wonderful land the Lord swore to your ancestors, and so the Lord will drive out all your enemies before you, just as he promised. As with the Israelites, God has delivered you out of your darkness, out of your land of sin and destruction, and he has brought you into the light, onto the road toward the new Yerushalayim, the new Jerusalem, where Yeshua has prepared a place for us. Through his word and in obedience to him, that posture we call walking in the fear of the Lord, he has provided us a prosperous future, a future that is bright and healthy in every social, relational, psychological, and physical aspect. God goes ahead of us. He is Jehovah Nissi, our banner, and at the sight of his banner, the enemies flee or hide in holes and caves where they belong. A loving father who sets the standard on unconditional love does not mean he cannot be angered. Just look at today's example of the Israelites in the desert. The generation that invoked his wrath never entered the promised land, not even Moshe. A 40-day trip became 40 years. Yes, it took that long to eradicate the thoughts and lusts of their past darkness from their minds. We need constant reminders through the words of Christ, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and every other letter in God's Word that our past has been placed in the past and that Christ has provided a way of redemption through the acceptance of his grace and our repentance, a way that our dark past stays there while we now walk in the light of the world. Jesus the Christ, our Yeshua HaMashiach. Does this mean, my friends, that our negative past is forgotten? No, it certainly is not. But the burden of our past has been removed, destroyed by the blood of Christ. When God starts shaping, molding, and pruning us, it is not always painless. Sometimes it truly hurts because in one way or another, we are still holding on to the life we once held. But the light is shed on the future, and it is bright and clear. Regarding our past, the memory remains, and it now serves as a reminder of what can go wrong and how badly things can go wrong. The temptations remain, but the lust to give in has disappeared. Instead of being an alcoholic, we can now help the alcoholic find the happiness and joy we have found in Christ. Instead of the quick shot of a junkie, we can now show the way to an everlasting high upon the mountain with Jesus Christ. Instead of the pain, lust, and sex of previous marriages and relationships, we can now demonstrate the true courtship of Christ. We can now show the true marriage relationship through the three-stranded cord of relationship with and through the Holy Spirit. It is good, it is great, it is glorious, and it is more than wonderful to be in God's hand. While in God's hand, we can declare, indeed, we can demand, in the name of Jesus, Satan, be gone. Satan, remove yourself from my life. Satan, get out of here. You do not belong here. Out, out, out. Satan, it has been said, you have already been conquered. We will not worship the loser that you are. Christ conquered life, and he conquered death. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. Complete Jewish Bible. Be careful not to forget Adonai, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, where you lived as slaves. You are to fear Adonai your God, serve him, and swear by his name. You are not to follow other gods, chosen from the gods of the peoples around you. This, Satan, sums it up. I am not under your control, but freely, willingly, joyfully, and expectantly in the hand of God. I will not easily let go, and I trust him to guide me through the trails and trials of my life. He is my Lord and the joy of my salvation. As King David said to the chief musician when Nathan the prophet came to him after his sin with Bathsheba, I now echo Psalm 51, Amplified Bible. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to the multitude of your tender mercy and loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly from my iniquity and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin. For I am conscious of my transgressions, and I acknowledge them. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and faultless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in a state of iniquity. My mother was sinful who conceived me, and I too am sinful. Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me, therefore, to know wisdom in my inmost heart. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall in reality be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, and be satisfied. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my guilt and iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness, your rightness, and your justice. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. You delight not in sacrifice, or else would I give it. You find no pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, humbly and thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in the sacrifices of righteousness, justice, and right, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then bullocks will be offered upon your altar. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be in your holy hand. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14 to 16, Amplified Bible. But Zion, Jerusalem, her people as seen in captivity, said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." And the Lord answered, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have indelibly imprinted, tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. O Zion, your walls are continually before me." Sometimes we might not feel adequate in whatever we are doing, but when we know we are in God's hand, we can be assured that, as previously stated, we work unto our masters as though we are working unto God Himself. We are pleasing to God as well as to our masters, our employers. And above all, we can do all things, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens, empowers me. Paul writes in the letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, Common English Bible. "In a mansion, there are not just gold and silver bowls, but also some bowls that are made of wood and clay. Some are meant for special uses, some for garbage. So if anyone washes filth off themselves, they will be set apart as a special bowl. They will be useful to the owner of the mansion for every sort of good work. Not everybody will be the headliner in an opera, appear on television, stand at the front of the church, or serve as foreman on the job. Yet God will use each and every one of us, as long as we clean out our past, as long as we remove the filth, or in other words, as long as we sanctify ourselves to His service, setting ourselves apart to be followers of Christ and to walk the path He has set for us. We are useful vessels in His hand, saved, set aside, sanctified, and Holy Spirit-filled. Walking hand in hand with the Almighty is not a forced march. It is a willing pilgrimage of trust. The Father invites us to clasp His hand, yet He never coerces. Love forced is no love at all. When we tighten our grip in faith and allow Him to guide our steps, deserts become holy classrooms, temptations become testimonies, and ordinary tasks become worship. Remaining in His hand requires daily intention, returning to His word, recalling His faithfulness, and refusing the subtle whispers that suggest independence is freedom. True liberty is found in dependence upon the One whose palms bear the engraving of our names. Let us therefore examine our grip. Are we the child tugging toward fleeting pleasures, or the beloved bride pressing ever closer to the bridegroom? Choose today to abide, to linger, to rest in those nail-scarred hands. And when the storms build and the maw-like chaos of life grows deafening, hear once more the refrain, "Oh no, you never let go." Join that anthem with your own vow, "Abba, I will not let go either, for in His hand is life, light, purpose, and everlasting joy." May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds as you live, work, and worship, securely held in His eternal grasp. "I'm in His hand, I shall not fear, though darkened clouds may gather round me. The God I serve is one who cares and understands. Although the storms I face would threaten to confound me, of this I am assured, I'm in His hands. What though I cannot know the way that lies before me? I still can trust and freely follow His commands. My faith is firm, since it is He that watches o'er me. Of this I'm confident, I'm in His hands. In days gone by, my Lord has always proved sufficient, when I have yielded to the law of love's demands. Why should I doubt that He would evermore be present to make His will my own? I'm in His hands, I'm in His hands, I'm in His hands. Whate'er the future holds, I'm in His hands. The days I cannot see have all been planned for me. His way is best, you see, I'm in His hands." Salvation Army Songbook 732. Amen.
be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.